Welcome to the Christ Church of Orinoco Impact Ministry Podcast. We're going to be talking about effective ways to be generous during the holiday season. Hey, everybody. I am Maggie Shade, the Community Impact Minister here at Christ Church, and I'm super excited about the conversation we're going to have today. Before we get too much into it, I want to introduce you to my guest today. I have Keely Johnson, our Impact Ministry intern, here with us. Hello, Keely.
Hi, guys.
Welcome. Keely, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me today, Maggie.
Of course. Christ
Church is my home church. I graduated high school from Carl Junction in 2020, and I'm now a junior at Ozark Christian College. I'm studying Christian ministry with the hopes of working in an outreach ministry in the future.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here. This is, you know, not a typical part of the internship, but I'm glad that you said yes, because I'm really excited. So today we're talking about Christmas impact and more specifically about the heart behind it, really. So a few years ago, our team noticed we had a ton of people in our church coming to us saying things like, my family wants to be generous during this season, but we don't really know how, and we want to serve together, but we want it to be meaningful and needed for the people that we're serving and not just for us. So we as a team started brainstorming and we came up with the idea for Christmas Impact. We thought, well, if so many people in our church really are wanting to serve and are wanting to give right now, then let's do it together. Let's do it as a whole church and let's increase our impact. Let's be really effective with that. So that is where Christmas Impact started. So the point of this conversation today is to discuss what it means to give and to serve well during this season, especially during the holidays, because so many people, they want to be really generous, they want to be really selfless and serve, but we want to make sure that we're doing that really well. So many times we have good intentions or good ideas, but we actually end up hurting those we want to help. And that is, of course, not at all what we want to do. Keely and I, as a part of our internship, have been going through a book called Toxic Charity by Robert Lupton, which is an amazing book, and I would highly recommend it. If you want to do a deeper dive into this idea of effective charity, the tagline of the book is How Churches and Charities Hurt Those They Help and How to Reverse It. It's a really, really good book. It's actually what we have based a ton of what we do as an impact ministry. We've based a ton of that on these principles. So I cannot recommend it enough. If you're looking for a good read over the holidays, pick up Toxic Charity. It's really good. So here is our plan for today. We want to break this down as simply and plainly as possible. So Keely and I have come up with really the ABCs of effective charity at the holidays. And like any good preachers, we've got 3 points. They start with A, B, and C, and hopefully that means they're easy to remember, easy to understand. So Keely, I would love for you to start us off. What is our first point of effective charity during the holidays?
Yes, so our first point is point A. it's to affirm dignity. Human dignity originates from God and is of God because we are made in God's own image and likeness. Human life is sacred because the human person is the most central and clearest reflection of God among us. So to start off, I want to explain that everyone has dignity. It flows from our relationship with God. It's built into us by our Creator Himself. Because we are made in the image of God, we have inherited dignity within us, and it's not because of what we do. But we are created in the image of God, which means that we are made to work and create as well. In Genesis 1, we see God creating everything and working together all things. One thing that Americans are really good at is stepping into situations and doing everything they can to help. This can be really nice, but it can also be harmful. You see, when you take away the chance for someone to work for themselves when they are fully capable, you take away their dignity. They lose respect for themselves in their own eyes. To affirm their dignity, we should walk with them in their situation. For example, if someone you know is needing a job to pay for rent, but they can't afford childcare to be able to go to work, instead of just giving the person the money to pay for their rent, encourage them by setting up a childcare rotation with people from the church. This may not work in every situation like this, but I want you to get the idea of walking with someone to get them through the rough spots instead of just doing it for them.
I love that. I love that concept that we all have dignity, not because of what we do or who we are, but because we are created in the image of God, who has ultimate dignity and ultimate worth, and He's created us in that way. And I told Keely this story a couple of months ago in one of our conversations about this, specifically related to Christmas. In the town I grew up in, there was this big Christmas giveaway thing where people donated toys and volunteers wrapped them and delivered them. It was a huge operation, this whole big thing. The whole town was in on it. And my youth group was always a part of it. It was a big deal. And hear my heart here. I know that the people that started this organization had genuine hearts, genuine motivation. So I am not at all questioning their heart or their motivation. But as I've gotten older, I have started questioning the methods a little bit, which I think we've all done this. Like we've all given or served in a way that we look back and we're like, oh man, I don't know if that was the best route. And so I think we've all grown a lot, but how we would do this is we would always volunteer with the delivery day for these toys, okay? And we would load up a church van full of middle schoolers one Saturday morning. We would pick up the gifts from the warehouse and we would deliver them to the homes. And I started noticing this trend. I was in like sixth grade at the time, okay? I started noticing this trend. Every home we went to, the dad in the house would get up when we arrived and he would head into a back room, like a different room. And as a kid, in all of my sixth grade wisdom, I thought, well, that's not very nice. Like here we are doing this really generous thing for you and you can't even say thank you. Like we get there, this, you know, group of sixth graders, and you go into a different room. But as I've gotten older, and especially as I have become a parent myself, I look back on that and I think, oh, I know exactly what was happening here. Here's a dad who, in a lot of cases, was working as hard as he could, was working all week at a job, but didn't have the money to buy Christmas gifts. And he was ashamed of that. He didn't love that. He wanted to be the one to buy Christmas gifts for his kids. And so he was embarrassed about that. So yeah, when a church van full of middle-class white kids showed up to deliver presents to his kids that he couldn't afford to buy, he hid in a back room. Like I probably, if somebody showed up at my house and was like, hey, you can't afford to buy your kids Christmas gifts, so we're here to do it for you. Yeah, I would not feel great about that. I wouldn't love that feeling. So did we do that with good and pure motivation? Yes, of course we did. But we became the heroes in that story, these random strangers that these kids did not know. And no parent wants to feel that way. We want to affirm dignity. We do not want to take away from their worth or value. We want to affirm that. We want to advance that in a big way. So moving along, that was point A, affirm dignity. Our next one is B, beyond good intentions, which ties back to that a lot. So we want to be a church and we want to be a people who go beyond just good intentions. We want good, productive, effective actions too. And a lot of that begins with asking ourselves, what are the unintended consequences of this type of giving? Just like in the story I just shared, the intended consequences were that kids got presents. Kids had a happy Christmas. And was that accomplished? Yes, probably. But the unintended consequences was that the dignity was taken away from the parents in that family. Did we mean for that to happen? Absolutely not. We never would have wanted that to happen, but it did happen, even though we had good intentions. The kids saw that they were on the receiving end and that their family was not on the giving end. And we have to be mindful of these consequences when we choose to give. Even though they are unintended, they still happen, and we are still responsible for that. So I think about this a lot with Right Here, Right Now, which if you're unfamiliar with Right Here, Right Now, that's our benevolence ministry where we help families who are in financial crisis in our community, families in our church, families that people in our church know, families that we have no connection with at all. So when someone that our church is not connected to requests help, we schedule a face-to-face meeting with them so that we can get to know them. And one time I was meeting with an older woman whose husband and son had just passed away. Her husband handled all of the finances and she was behind on all of her bills because she hadn't paid them since he passed away. So my good intentions were that I wanted to help her. And on the surface, she just needed her bills paid, right? Like she couldn't pay them. She needed them paid. So I could have simply paid those. I could have said, this is what we're going to do. It's right here and now. We're going to pay your bills. But when I dug a little bit deeper, I realized that she actually didn't know how to pay the bills. She had the funds. It wasn't that she didn't have the money to pay them. She had never paid a bill in her life. Her husband had taken care of that for her entire life, and she never had to do it. So she didn't know how. She just didn't have access to paying those bills. So instead of simply paying the bills and having her be in the same tough place the very next month, we sat down with her. We helped her get access to her accounts. We helped her figure out how to pay those. And it was a different outcome than if we had just handed her a check. We wanted to just go beyond those good intentions and actually do something that was going to make a significant impact. So basically the idea of it's the thought that counts, right? We've all heard that. We've all said that. It's not really true here. It isn't really, match up well with effective charity. So we need to go beyond the motivation of our hearts and wanting to help. And we have to use our minds as well to help determine what is going to be truly beneficial, what is going to affirm their dignity and not have those unintended hurtful consequences. That's a really big deal. Our hearts are usually in the right place. That is a beautiful place to start, but we can't just act on that. We have to use our minds too. We have to seek wisdom in that. Sometimes that looks like, talking to that person, talking to somebody else saying, hey, I have this great idea. What do you think about it? And when we bring in other people, our community, that really helps us see like, oh, there would be unintended harmful consequences that I didn't want to happen there. So that's really, really important. We want to go beyond just our good intentions because they can be hurtful sometimes. So, all right, Keely, you got our last one, our C. What is it?
Last one. So our last point is C, which is continues past Christmas. So this is looking at the good, helpful, effective charity and what it looks like after the holiday season is over. We all know that poverty doesn't just end when Christmas is over. So how can we continue this helpful charity after the holidays? Well, I think one thing that I've learned throughout all of my time living, but also at Ozark and in this internship, is like, you need to look at your community and fully understand what the need is. Don't just assume that you know everything about someone's situation until you actually have the opportunity to sit down and hear their story firsthand. And then when you do understand what the real need is, you can act upon that. Sometimes the real need is just a friendship instead of handing out money to them. Sometimes the real need is a community that is willing to pitch in to help babysit children or to go to coffee and just talk. Sometimes the real need is just love. So it's so important to know the full story before asserting a plan that could potentially bring more harm than good. And there's so many great organizations and ministries here in the Joplin area that would be a great place to start as well. One way the church is able to serve and impact our community during this holiday season is through Watered Gardens as well. They have a wonderful program during Christmas time that allows parents to shop for their children while still paying for it. Not actually with money, but with their time. They are going to Watered Gardens and working for this gift that they earn for their children. Watered Gardens understands the struggles that people go through to get their kids some toys for Christmas. Every parent wants to see their kids excited and happy on Christmas Day. So this program asks the community to donate toys so that parents can go work at Watered Gardens and earn their child a toy for Christmas. We love this program because it affirms the dignity of the parents and the accomplishment that they worked hard for.
I love that. I love this part of the ministry of Watered Gardens because I just love that parents get to be the heroes. They get to be the ones that are picking out those toys, and they're not just getting a random thing, you know, for any old random kid. They get to go, they pick it out. They see the price tag that has a time frame on it. They add that up. They go work in the shop. They get to wrap the gifts. They get to take it. It's incredible. I love that we get to be a part of it. And the other great giving option that we have this year as a church is with Life Choices. We have been a part of this program with Life Choices for, I think, over 20 years at this point. We love partnering with them. We love partnering with them at Christmas. And if you don't know, Life Choices is a sexual health clinic here in our community that offers pregnancy services, STI testing and treatment, parenting classes, different things to help people in their sexual health journey. And one thing that they do, which is super cool, I love this, is they offer baby baskets to families who have received services from them and have a new baby. There's a lot of Life Choices babies. So a lot of needs there for baby items. And a lot of the people that they work with are maybe not going to have a baby shower, or they're not going to have the necessities they need when you bring a new baby home. So Life Choices gives them a baby basket, which they've said is kind of like a baby shower in a basket. It's so cool. It's got a ton of baby things like onesies and diapers and baby socks and pajamas and all kinds of things. And listen, I have had two kids. There's so many things. There's so many things that babies need. And I love that Life Choices really helps them out with this. And we as a church get to purchase these items, give them to Life Choices so that they can give them to the clients they work with. I love that they do this because Life Choices deeply affirms the dignity of not only the pregnant women they see, but also the fathers. The fathers in this situation a lot of times are overlooked. They assume the fathers don't want to be involved, but that is not the case at Life Choices. They say to the fathers, you are valuable, you have dignity, you have a valuable role to play. We want to affirm that. And then, of course, the dignity and value of the new baby, which is so important. They serve with excellence. They offer exactly what is needed in those moments. And they really, truly care for the people they see wherever they are in life. It's such an incredible organization with really just the best people working there. And we're so, so blessed that we get to partner with them all year long, but especially at Christmas. So we want to encourage you to stop by the Christmas Impact Station in the lobby at church. It is up. It is ready to go. Whether you're here on a Thursday night, we've got one set up in SMC East, or you're here on a Sunday morning or Advent, we've got some stations set up in the main lobby. Come and see it. We've got tags there for watered gardens, tags for Life Choices. You can choose whatever item or thing you want to bring. Bring that back. We'll make sure that gets to those organizations. We want you to be a part of giving and serving in really beautiful and meaningful and effective and dignifying ways this Christmas season. That's just a little glimpse into that. So thank you so much for joining us for this conversation.